It's Monday, September 30th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuously running tech podcast. This is show 894, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our October GoDaddy special, hang on to your hat here, folks. Customers get economy hosting for $1.99 per month and a free .com at GoDaddy.com by using the promo code HOST. Host off three, or you can get a .org for just $9.99. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. No shutdown here, folks, at GNC. We work for a living, so you know what comes next. Let's launch this, baby. It's go time.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There's no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. I'm telling you, my hair is literally on fire. You can't see it. But I'm serious. It's been a crazy, crazy day, and just not a moment to spare. It's like you're running a marathon, and it's like, okay, you got a mile to go, and then there's next thing you know, say I'm teasing. There's five more miles to go. It's just been one of those ongoing days, which is a good thing. Busy's good. Stress is good. Which probably is going to make for a super hyper show. So we'll see how it goes here tonight. But I want to give a warm, warm, warm welcome to all of the Ohana and all the longtime listeners of the show. Thank you for being here and thank you for being part of the family. Of course, if you're new to the show, Ohana is family. So just pull up a chair, get up on the treadmill. You know, if you're riding the bus or if you're in the outback or if you're in Antarctica or if you're in a plane, just, you know, kind of get, you know, wiggle in. And get adjusted, because I've got a lot to cover tonight. And if you're new to the show, we want to thank you for being here. We want to thank you for really giving us some of your time. I know your time is very, very valuable. We're going to go over a few administrative stuff, then we're going to get into the tech content after we get done the admin stuff. And yes, the cat has my tongue tonight. Hey, get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content. Of course, tell you there's a way there to subscribe to the show right on the second column of the website. You can get hooked up with the newsletter as well so that we can deliver you the show notes. Of course, if you don't want to sign up for the newsletter, you can go to gncshownotes.com/894. That'll take you to the page. It has all the stuff that I'm going to cover during the show tonight. So that's very, very important. And of course, get subscribed. Hey, our writers are putting out great stuff. And they continue week after week to amaze me and finding cool stuff to write. All original content. We don't go just copying everything that everyone else does. We try to have a lot of unique content. So that's one thing that makes us different. So we break tech and the news down so that the common man can dig in real deep. And that's what we try to do on this show as well. Hey, you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News. Of course, the email address here is geeknews@gmail.com. You can email me anytime. Now, our hotline is only going to be open about 28 or so more days. We're going to pull the plug on that at the end of October. November 1st, I guess there's 31 days in October. So about 31 days from now, the hotline is going to go down unless we have this outbreak of usage in the next couple of weeks. But 619-342-7365 is the place for the hotline. So you can definitely leave a comment if you want. And we want to thank you, of course, for being here. I tell you, you can check the show out on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, on the Boxy, on the Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, Chromecast, you name it. You can watch us there. And that'll get you the show post-show. We're not live on those channels, but we are available for really listening on demand, and that's what it's really all about. Well, I tell you, we're proud to be a member of the Tech Podcast Network over at techpodcast.com. 140 family safe shows over there. Get over there and check out all the shows. Lots of great offerings on really every genre you can imagine in the tech space. A little science, a little geocaching, a little gadgets, you name it, we've got it. And of course, here at Geek News Central, we've got some additional shows too. We've got the Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, puts a show out every Thursday. We've got Langley. He's kicking it with his show with Robot Underpants. So definitely check out those shows here at geeknewscentral.com as well. Streaming live tonight on YouTube. So anyone's watching, so we want to thank you for being here and on YouTube with us tonight as well. Okay, let's talk about the special offers GoDaddy's put up. Man, oh man, they hit me last week. I knew what these offers were going to be before really, really kind of early. So I got prepped for them, and today we announced them. So here, there's three new deals, okay? And the first one, in my opinion, is probably the best deal I have seen really in a long, long time. So for $1.99 a month or about $24, you get economy hosting for 12 months. Along with that, they're going to give you a free domain name. So you take $8.49 is the normal .com price. Subtract that from $24 for $16. Essentially, you're going to get an economy hosting account with that domain name. Absolutely incredible. Just over, I tell you what, it's cheaper to get a domain name and cheaper to get a hosting account right now than it is to support this show at $2 a month as becoming an insider. Isn't that pretty incredible? What a deal that GoDaddy has put together for you. Another thing they're going to do this month in basically it for breast awareness, breast cancer awareness month, you can get a .org domain for the first year at $9.99. by using the promo code ORG4, O-R-G-4. And they replaced our 32% offer with a 30% offer where you can get a 30% off your new order at GoDaddy by using the promo code 30DEAL3. So they put a whole bunch of stuff together for us here. And this is really, it's simply incredible. So we've got the special offer. You'll see it at the top when you click on the link. Get 12 months of economy web hosting for just $1.99 a month. There is some limitations. You'll read about that in the little pull down there. But you'll be able to get that great deal on hosting accounts. And I tell you, everything that I have here at Geek News Central is hosted over at GoDaddy. They do a great job. Of course, the 30% off on new products, you can pick that up as well. So that's all available again over at GoDaddy.com. Don't forget, you can come over to GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. And this is really a piece of cake. All you got to do is come to the bottom of the slide down the website. You're going to see a thing that says GoDaddy promo codes. You're going to click on that. It's going to list all of the October specials. Okay. It's going to show everything that's new. It's going to show all my everyday offers that are non-expiring. It's even going to show expiring offers as well. So you can look there if there's something there that's left over that you can still get access to. But really, there's a code for every occasion. The SSL certificate code, we're having some challenges with that right now. So be aware that the SSL certificate code is having a problem. We had one of our Ohana members, and matter of fact, it's sad because he was going to buy 10 years worth of an SSL certificate, and figuring he could get it for $12.99 a year, the code was not working, and he ended up paying like $300. We're working with GoDaddy to see if we can get him a refund, but that code dropped on us here a few days ago, and thanks to him for bringing that to our attention, but boy, oh boy, it's not good when we got a code on the website that has expired or has been dropped, and we've had a few of those, so we're keeping an eye on them, and we appreciate everyone's patience. But it's just one of those deals that happens from time to time. If you run into code that doesn't work, let me know. Also, remember, you can't combine them with another deal. So if you find a deal on GoDaddy's website and you don't use my code to begin with, it may get preempted. So just be aware of that. Always start your GoDaddy shopping by coming to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, clicking on the code that locks us in. Even though if you may find a better deal, we still get credit for it, okay? All right, I want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here, and you guys definitely check them out and check my codes out again, and we definitely appreciate y'all for supporting our longtime sponsor here. Okay, so what's going on here? Shoko's on the mend. She's up and moving around, doing pretty good. Back's feeling better. I think we're on the on a good track here. She goes to see the physical therapist tomorrow morning. Gets worked on a little bit, which is good. And hopefully we're past our several stages of injuries and everything. So if I had a wood desk here, which I guess close enough, we're good. This last, even though we were just coming off the weekend, my hair has just been exploding. We had our first CES planning meeting on Saturday, and the guys really, really came up with some cool stuff. We're going to be announcing a crowdfunding initiative unlike anything you guys have ever seen. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We put a lot of fun elements into it that I think is going to get a lot of you excited to help us out. You remember, we talked about this a little bit in the past, but Jeffrey Powers over at Geekazine kind of is spearheading this, and he's coming up with the different levels and what people are going to get. And I'm really excited about this crowdfunding initiative, and we hope to kind of kick that off and really within a couple of weeks and run for about 60 days. So we'll be talking about that more as we get ready to launch that. Along with that, deals with content creators, working with the corporate networks on stats accounts. It's just on and on and on, and things have been pretty nuts. So hopefully the hair on fire cools off. But this turns out to be my very, very busy time of year, and it really won't slow down until probably about January 15th. Yeah, so the next 3 months will be nuts. Okay, so Podcast Awards kicked off tonight. At 001, we flipped the switch. The nominations are now open. So this is fantastic. And you, those of you that have got podcasts that you want to nominate, all you got to do is come over to podcastawards.com and make your nominations. My show, obviously, is not qualified to be able to be nominated. So don't even do it. Nominate your other favorite tech shows, education shows, comedy shows, business shows. Just follow the instructions on the website. And we, of course, we're real excited about going back to Vegas and having our red carpet event with our awards ceremony on Sunday, January 5th, which will be streamed live. But follow us on podcast. Of course, the Twitter stream is already kicking off pretty good. We're getting folks to actually start punching up their tweets, which is really going to get everyone kind of ramped up. Let them know what everybody's saying about the nominations. But go nominate your favorite shows. Remember, you can only nominate one time. And go ahead and go over there and get her done. Okay, I think that's it. We got a lot of tech stuff tonight. I had so much that the browser literally collapsed. I had too many tabs open, so I had to bring stuff in little by little, and I got it whittled down to a pretty good size, but we're going to have to go quick tonight because I've got just a metric ton of stuff to go over. One thing I will say too about the Podcast Awards, we are really in need of a corporate and podcaster sponsors. We're behind at this point. So please consider that and becoming a corporate sponsor or even a podcast sponsor over there. Okay, so let me go ahead and load up the show notes here. And the first thing, I want to remind everyone, we did the new media show on Saturday, this with Marty Reamer. Marty is a well-known Seattle radio celebrity, now a podcaster, and I think it's quite an eye-opener. He realizes what's happening and where the radio industry is heading. And I encourage you guys to get over and basically listen to this show. It was a great interview, a lot of fun. Rob was back. Matter of fact, Rob's going to be out again next week, so we're going to be looking for two guests for the follow-on show. But Marty was fantastic. And even if you're not in the Seattle area, you may want to definitely check his show out. MartyReamer.com is the actual his actual website. Okay, so beyond the Saturday morning tech, the new media show that happened this past weekend, I started off today when I was looking through the news. You know, there's always like the big headline stuff. But I think the thing that I thought was the most cool that I saw right off the get-go was an article over on Computer World talking about dead drops. Now, when you hear the word dead drops, you're thinking, that sounds like spy stuff, right? It's like, that's what spies do. They go around and they use dead drops to basically pass files and so forth. Well, a bunch of folks have started to put USB thumb drives in structures, and this has caught on like wildfire. Dead drops, as the project is called, now has more than 1,200 locations worldwide where anyone with a computer and a USB port can anonymously plug in and upload or download files, sharing who they are or what they care about or love. The premises is basically you submit a thumb drive into a wall with just the port protruding and leave its location with photos in the Dead Drop Central database. And then people just can come by and they can plug in and essentially get to see what's on that drive. Now, this is pretty cool because I'm going to tell you, back in the day when before the peer-to-peer thing really got kicked off, we did SneakerNet. You know, I had buddies that would have, let's say, for a better word, materials. And they would be on the East Coast, and I'd be on the West Coast, and I'd be like, hey, why don't you mail me a hard drive, and I'll mail you, you know, when I get it, I'll empty it, and I'll fill it up with stuff, and I'll send it back to you. And so sneaker netting content around is pretty ingenious from a, well, it's not ingenious, it's, you know, it's just the way we've done things for a long, long time. And now, with everyone concerned about the six strikes and everything else, this dead drop stuff is really kicking off. Now, you do have, you know, what will probably end up happening is the RIAA will probably send out goon squads and drop viruses onto these USB ports. But if you want to share movies, music, and so forth, you know, a USB stick in your pocket works real well with your buddy's computer as well. And, you know, again, I'm not condoning copyright violation, but we know that most kids today, that's how they're sharing music, because they're not going up on peer-to-peer. They're, you know, they're getting a disc, they're burning it, and then they're sharing it with all their friends. And I'm not saying that's right, but it's just the way, it's what happens a lot. But according to the creator of Dead Drops, German artist Adam Barthol, the project is a way to uncloud file sharing. He says, that is, remove it from the internet in a time when governments are spying on the online public. Dead Drops is an anonymous offline peer-to-peer file sharing network in public spaces, the Dead Drops Manifesto says. And you can, you know, you can really, it's pretty cool because you can go over to the deaddrops.com website and you can register your own, and you don't have to put your USB stick on the side of your house. You know, you can find a very, I guess for a better word, a very convenient location to put stuff find a way to secure it there, and you're good to go. But they've got a database and where you can look for stuff, look for locations, and California, Colorado, Tennessee. I could see where this could become so big that it'll grow into a much, much larger, phenomenon, I guess, for a better word. It probably will kind of follow what's going on with, you know, with geocaching. It could build into that type of hype. But so far, they've got total USB storage on, total USB drops are 1,234, which in the scheme of things is not that many worldwide. Total USB storage is 6,427 gigabytes. And let me see if they show some stats here on, is there any more details to that? I guess not. There's a world map. Let's see if they can show the... Oh, the stats is not ready. But the map, actually, yeah, the map is, shows you where all the drops are at. Looks like there's even one here in Hawaii. Nay, let's look at that. So there's one at 318 Kamani Street, Honolulu, which is kind of interesting. So there's a drop over there someplace. So, you know, it's even here in Hawaii, but although it's only one drop at this point. So anyway, deaddrops.com. And we'll see how this all works out. And, you know, it's going to be kind of weird. You go up to the side of a building and plug in. Oh, man. All right, an article over on The Verge. NSA stores all collectible browsing data for 365, a new leak has revealed. A new leak published by The Guardian reveals more details about its metadata program, including a program's ability to look back a full year of metadata for millions of web users, regardless of whether the users are the target of investigation or not. The metadata can include anything from browsing history to more detailed account activity in the case of web-based email, including contact lists and potentially even account passwords. Basically, from training documents, shows that the data was certainly stored and managed, and much of the data is coming from previously reported programs that are out there. So, wow. Interesting. Yep. So they're saving your, I told you, they're saving your surfing data. If you think they're doing it, you know Google's doing it. You know, we probably automatically assume that, right? Building advertising profiles and so forth on us. So anyway, article over on The Verge. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you. Hey, over in San Jose Mercury News, John McAfee has revealed details on a gadget to thwart the NSA. And of course, you know, McAfee is quite the character and a lot of controversy surrounding him. We've talked about him a lot here in the on the show recently, and he's become quite the cultural icon from a, you know, basically he's got a lot of fanboys out there. But he spoke at the Fireside Chat talk during C2SV Technology Conference and Music Festival at the McHenry Convention Center in San Jose this past weekend. So he is looking to put together a device dubbed Decentral. It's an as yet unbuilt device that will cost less than $100. And McAfee promised an enthusiastic crowd of about 300 engineers, musicians, and artists. There will be no way, he says, for the government to tell who you are or where you are, he said in an onstage interview with a moderator. And if the U.S. government bans it, he says, I'll sell it in England, Japan, the third world. This is coming and cannot be stopped. He says, this is very ambitious. And so essentially some sort of a, I don't know if it's going to be a jammer or what it's going to be, but pretty interesting article about him. And we'll see if he's able to put this together. If this is, you know, he's just crazy enough and just out there that he probably can do it. And if his brain cells are still holding tight, he probably can, he's probably fully capable of doing this. Some of his antics has been pretty crazy, but we'll see. We'll see where this leads. And who knows? He can end up being public enemy number one here in the United States if he builds something like that as well. All right. Many of us probably remember the blue screen of death. How many of you have had one in the last few years? Well, there's a great article on ZDNet, why the blue screen of death is really no longer plaguing Windows users. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen some Windows blue screens of death on some machines in the recent past. So this isn't something that's been completely done away. But there is a good article about some of the things that Microsoft has done to lower the number of BSODs. Primarily, they basically been working on driver errors, and it was basically that was the top thing that was killing Windows. They took the driver related crash reports from XP and automatically characterized them by driver vendor and likely cause, and then they worked with the vendor and basically built some stuff into the operating system to basically prevent the issue. The team also developed a termination prover for Windows device drivers called Terminator, where it works on device drivers up to 35,000 lines of code. Terminator helped uncover a number of bugs in Windows XP. For example, unplugging a mouse while moving it would cause XP to hang, and a variety of other things. So the crash data pointed toward buggy device drivers, and really they were able to make a lot of improvements to Windows. But have you seen a BSOD lately? If you have, I'd love to hear from you. And you have, or, you know, Windows XP machine, they're not necessarily, you know, they're pretty prone to it still. But Vista and Windows 7, remember, Windows 7 has been probably the most stable operating system I've ever used. Very rarely, this machine can run for weeks on end without any issue. And I think once in a while, I just reboot it. But if you're still on Windows 98, it might be time to move. All right, pretty cool article on Gizmodo. Researchers, the bioengineer bacteria that, listen to this, poops out gasoline. All right, let me read that again. Let me read that headline. Researchers bioengineer bacteria that poop out gasoline. So Korean researchers have basically developed a new strain of E. coli that can produce a suitable substitute for gasoline. And as they quite rightly point out, bacteria that poops out petroleum could be some valuable beep. They say digging up fossil resources carries tremendous environmental, monetary, and geopolitical costs, which means figuring out a way to feed the world's huge addition to gasoline without unearthing crude oil could have a tremendous impact. So if you think about this a little bit, if you can scale this large enough, that's pretty big deal here. And so they're basically probably recreating some of the conditions in which petroleum is created, but that's pretty amazing. And what they did is with the modified E. coli, when they fed glucose found in plants or other non-food crops, the enzyme they produced converted the sugars into a fatty acid and then turned those into hydrocarbons that were chemically and structurally identical to those found in commercial fuel. So now here's the unfortunate part. 1 liter of glucose produces just 580 milligrams of gasoline, which is a highly unfavorable yield to say the least. So the tech's too new to power cars anytime soon, but it's an important step towards basically figuring out how to make gas from bacteria, which is, I think, most men are fully capable of doing that right now. All right. So anyway, pretty cool stuff. All right. Do you live in a state where your state restricts drone utilization? Well, I'm going to give you a map here and show you this. So here's the map. And they don't show Hawaii on this. So if you live in, what are the states that do restrict? Texas has a law restricting use by private citizens. There's laws that restrict use by law enforcement to Idaho. Oregon, Montana, Illinois, Tennessee, North Carolina, Virginia, Florida. But there's a law restricting both only in one state, and that's Idaho, that restricts law enforcement and private citizens from flying drones. But no laws restricting drones are the majority of states: Washington, California, Nevada, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, and then just about everything east of there is legal. So anyway, just to let you know that you could be droned. link will be up in the show notes. All right, the U.S. government has been given until December to unseal more NSA documents. The federal judges ruled that the U.S. government must unseal more documents related to the NSA spying program by December 20th. The news comes from the EFF after the organization found some recent success in its long-running Juul versus NSA lawsuit. The EFF initially filed the suit in 2008 in response to a Bush administration revelations about the existence of NSA spying. And Juul versus NSA, Judge Jeffrey White had ordered the government to unseal declassified materials such as exhibits, declarations, and other ex parte submission documents originally submitted to the court under seal. The government then argued to only release a new declaration, claiming reviewing all those materials would become a heavy burden. The EFF objected, and Judge White agreed. He stated the government had plenty of resources available for the task, saying that the court, public, and plaintiffs should have a fulsome records to access. So that's kind of an interesting move. We'll see what they reveal, or if they basically put it up on appeal. All right, all public Facebook posts ever made are now searchable. Now, it's still subject to privacy controls, but there's all kinds of deep reach into the search results. Facebook's graph search now includes posts and status updates in its results, according to a Facebook blog post. Such searches will accept modifiers like time. So all of your posts from 2012, for instance, location or people who are participated. So it's going to basically allow you to dig in deep, not through Google, but through Facebook search. Okay. All right. There's a great article over on the Daily Dot. This is from a guy who basically, and the title of this is going to wide-eye you guys a little bit. He says, I cheated YouTube for 5 months and finally got caught. So here's something that's interesting. This guy made some it was a really bogus video. He says after more than 5 months, $500 spent, and more than 500,000 views, YouTube has finally deleted the video I blatantly juiced with fake viewers all winter. This arose back in December when the Daily Dot noticed that YouTube had cleaned house on the views counts for a number of major music companies that had allegedly violated the site's terms of use. We talked about that, how Sony, BMG, Universal Music Group were among the largest who basically had a cumulative of 2 billion views pulled down. So curious as how it worked, he basically went out and started purchasing views. And he did it over and over, and he talked with people at YouTube and said he was spoofing and all. He was very blatant about it. And he is starting to becoming more bold and bold and bold. And finally, he added AdSense to the video and then ordered another 100,000 views, and that kind of pushed it over the top, and they banned it. He only made $1 from off of AdSense. No, excuse me. He started to get desperate. He did 345. He bought 345,000 views for $170. I guess that's a way to get your view counts up, is to buy views. Got to be pretty desperate to do that. But anyway, he got shut down and he got the notice from Google. But he blatantly did this to try to game the system and really see what it took to get banned, get a video banned. And 500,000 is when they finally pulled the plug on him. All right, what's behind Apple's epic memory markup? Well, we all know that, you know, when I was at the Apple store the other day, they had the new iMacs out, right? So the I was looking at the different versions and, of course, different video cards and the higher models. And then there was, I believe the next to the highest model on the iMac was a 3.6 megahertz chip. The next higher version was a 3.7 with really, and just a little more RAM on the video card. But there was a $400 price difference between that unit and the next one. And you know, if you really break it down and you look at the price of Apple's products, a lot of time there's no rhyme or reason why there's such a big jump in price. Well, if you really want to know, it's all boiled down to RAM. For example, if you want to go from a 32 gig to a 64 gig, look at the price difference. It's huge. There's no difference in the device, just the amount of RAM. So when RAM costs like $16 a gig, you know, the price jump shouldn't be so dramatic. And they say that on average, Apple makes about 37% on that's its profit margin on its devices. So that's huge. Now, the iPhone 5S, they feel they're making about double the money on that, about 50% profit margin on the 5S. So they definitely have this huge, huge, huge markup on their products, but people are standing in line still to buy stuff. But it really breaks down why Apple products are that much more expensive as you start pushing into not so necessarily more performance on devices, but specifically devices that have more storage or have more onboard RAM, and et cetera. And the cost justification really doesn't make sense, except it's a profit center for Apple. All right, switching gears here, Google has launched something called Web Designer. It's an app for creating animated HTML5 ads. This is pretty cool. Google has unveiled this app for Chrome, and I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, this thing will work really good. And again, it's animated HTML5 ads. And I look at this thing and think, man, this thing will work real good for making lower thirds and stuff for the show. So I'm going to play around with this a little bit. But it's going to continue to be improved. Google Web Designer makes it simple to publish ads through any platform. DoubleClick, AdMob, or a generic option to push content through any other ad network. No coding required. It's available free. And it's available for Windows PC and Mac OS X at this stage. It won't run on Linux or Chromebooks, but it is available for you to check out. It's kind of funny. It's running on Chrome, but it won't run on a Chromebook. Must mean a little more power than what the Chromebooks are capable of producing. All right, NSA Internet Spying Sparks race to create offshore havens for data privacy. Some European leaders are renewing calls for a Eurocloud, in which consumer data could be shared within Europe but not outside the region. Brazil is fast-tracking a vote on a once-dormant bill that could require that data about Brazilians be stored on servers in the country. And India plans to ban government employees from using email services such as Google and Yahoo. So a lot of people are weirded out, but all this stuff that's been going on, and they're starting to take stuff home, which will ultimately be a big boon for those companies, web providers and data centers and so forth. So we'll see where this leads. All right, government shutdown, I guess it's going to happen. I haven't been following the news really since I started doing show prep. Let me load up a website here. Says the shutdown will begin. Congress fails okay spending deal. Obamacare exchanges to take effect. And this is in this next article's response to that. They're saying the arrival of Obamacare may make it easier for some employees to quit their full-time jobs to launch tech startups, to work as a freelance consultant, or pursue some other solo career path. Most tech startups founders are older and need health insurance. The average age of people who create a tech startup is 39 and not 20-something. And basically saying entrepreneurs are willing to take on risk, but healthcare is not a manageable risk. They're willing to basically mortgage their homes to help to do a startup, but they're not willing to do that for, an unforeseen health issue. So anyway, kind of an interesting move here, an interesting discussion point. The big thing I've been hearing so far is people are shocked at the cost of what it's going to cost them to get health insurance underneath these new plans. And, I'm not surprised because, when my mom was buying health insurance as a sole proprietor, they're paying $1,200 a month for just one person. It was more for two. So, not a surprise on my part, but we definitely are seeing a lot of people that are scared to death of knowing how this is going to be implemented and how much it's going to cost them. And if you're over the age of 18, and you're not living with mom and dad, you are now on your own. You either get the insurance or you pay the fine. And I'm sure most folks will opt to pay for the fine. But one thing that's going to be interesting is we'll see if this site collapses, because tomorrow morning they're going to open up the exchanges. So it'll be fun to watch and see if they can actually scale this thing. We'll see how many people hit it, and we'll see if it falls over. My prediction is it's going to get crushed. Because I think I'll just go take a look just to look, and maybe not enough people will even know where to go to look, but I have a funny feeling that tomorrow, besides the government shutdown, the we could see the exchanges falling over. So we'll see where this leads tomorrow with the opening of the exchanges. All right, moving on to an article over on Tech Dirt. We covered that in a previous. That's a double. We'll flip back here. Hey, congratulations to Orbital Sciences. They have a berth at the International Space Station. And, of course, the SpaceX flew a new hot rod rocket as well. And Sunday was a big day in the commercial space era with really these two companies marking milestones in orbit. Of course, with the minor GPS issue that delayed the Orbital Science berthing with the International Space Station, They basically, Cygnus made its approaches, did its back and forth, did what was needed, and then the spacecraft was grabbed by the station's robotic arm and pulled in the final meters and docked. And a few hours later, SpaceX successfully launched their own upgraded version of its Falcon 9 rocket from Vandenberg, basically marking its first launch out of California. But this is exciting because the Cygnus was basically carrying 1,300 pounds of cargo on board. What's interesting is the orbital science spacecraft has more space, though can carry less mass in than the SpaceX Dragon spacecraft. So this is kind of an interesting move. So apparently they're going to be able to put bigger things in that don't weigh as much on launches on Cygnus. So we'll see where this leads. But a couple of the YouTube videos online for you to be able to check out. But this starts the 1.6 billion dollar contract for 12 contracted cargo flights to the International Space Station, with the first one really coming pretty quick in December. So again, congratulations to Orbital Science and also SpaceX for both of you having a successful launches and a docking. You know, there's always talk about going off to another planet, right? And really, it's not going to be possible, at least in probably in our lifetime, for us to see any manned deep space exploration. And we might, you know, so many of us may see Mars, but I think I'll be pretty gray if that happens. But on one of Saturn's moons, actually Saturn's moon Titan, the alien atmosphere, they basically have detected plastic has been detected on Saturn's moon Titan. So by peering into the hydrocarbon haze of Saturn moon Titan, NASA's Cassini spacecraft has made the first off-world detection of a molecule called propylene. I just destroyed that. One of the most important starting products of the modern plastic industry. Propylene is also known as propan, is one of the simplest organic compounds made from a chain of three carbons. So this is, I guess you can make Tupperware on Titan. You know, I saw this article over on The Verge today and I laughed because the title of this article is "Arcades Aren't Disappearing, They're Moving Into Casinos." And, you know, the last time I was in Vegas, I must admit that a lot of the gaming machines had, motifs like Jurassic Park, and, you know, they really looked like kind of like an arcade machine, except you had to put ones, fives, tens, and twenties, and $100 bills in them to feed them instead of a quarter, and you may get something back. But some of these online games, or some of these games that they have in the casinos now, are so sophisticated. You put the money in and you bet 25 lines, and it costs you $375 to push the roll button. And then when it does give you your winnings, it's like marked up, like they could cheat you and you would never know, because it takes like a rocket scientist to decipher the actual sequences, how things are supposed to be lined up for the basically for the payoff. I guess we're lucky if the computer's right, but one thing's for sure is that slot machine shakers have turned video games to lure younger players using techniques like flashy visuals and big brands to attract them. And we all know this is window dressing. It's not skill based. It's all random, random number generators. So, you know, just remember that when you are in Vegas and you want to beat the machine, you can't do that. You know, you look at the odds on the machine, you know, it's all about luck and timing. You know, you might be the guy that walks up to the machine, puts a $1 bill in it and hit the progressive jackpot of $125 million. You have as much luck winning that or hitting a big jackpot as the guy that's put $100 in and he's rolled it 200 times on his $100 bill and ends up with zero. The odds, it just depends on when that random number generator says you're a winner, and that's what happens. But they definitely have, using a little psychology there to attract younger people to play the slot machines. They're no longer slots. They're more like the games. Okay, switching gears here. Is downloadable game size increasing faster than broadband speeds? Now, check this out. Sony's UK managing director for Galgara, causing a bit of a to-do in the gaming world today when he revealed via a Eurogamer interview that the digital download of PlayStation 4 launch titled Killzone, Shadowfall was cracking on 50 gigabytes. So if you want to pay for the game online and download it, 50 gigs. We all know that's a pretty hefty size, whether you're comparing it to the 500 gig hard drive space built into every PS4 or the broadband speeds in most U.S. homes these days. 50 gigs. You can still get it on disk, but holy cow. That's incredible. Well, they do give you 10 DVDs to install the game. 50 gigs is nuts. But I guess that's what it takes to deliver these huge graphic files. Now, 50 gig download just to download a game. Big news out of a court case in Lafayette, Louisiana. There was a court case that was heard in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals that overturned a lower court ruling that previously allowed a website created by current and former members of the Lafayette Police Department describing allegations of top-to-bottom corruption to be shuttered. Originally, the city had basically taken that site to court and basically got an injunction on it and got it pulled. Basically, the judge has basically said that injunction and that removing of that website basically violated those folks' civil rights, and by basically denying them the ability to express themselves, and therefore their protection under the First Amendment was violated. So the site's going to be going back online. But it's nice to see that this is happening and that the judge made the right decision. And hopefully those that were corrupt will now get a little more exposure than they want. And we'll see where this leads. Maybe we can get some corrupt officials to, go to the pokey at some point. All right, Windows 8.1 is, there's a triumphant return of the start button. And there's a video for it. And I can't play the video on the show, but I'm going to link you to an article. It's on Yahoo News. And it basically shows you how the start button is going to work and so forth. We know that Microsoft took a lot of criticism in Windows 8 in the way they rolled it out. But 8.1 spends a good portion of its running time focusing on the revised start button. And, of course, we know that the start button now serves a different purpose, switching seamlessly between Metro and the classic Windows interface. The remainder of the ad focuses on the hotly contested new Windows 8 interface and its potential customization. And the ad is titled Windows 8.1 Everywhere. So is the return of the start button going to get you guys excited enough to make the jump to Windows 8.1? I'd love to hear your feedback. geeknews@gmail.com. All right. Another article over on The Verge. Picture of the Nexus 5. And it's not a lot. It's a dark kind of black and white image. But, basically they've got a kind of a small screen cap of the Nexus 5. So if you're excited about this particular device, it is there's a few pictures in the wild on this thing. And I'm sure many of you are looking forward to being able to pick up this new phone. Okay, Daily Dirt, who cares if you went to a good school? You know, that's been a discussion around this house for a while. My daughter is in the process of obviously making some college and career decisions. And I keep telling her, I says, you know, that unless you go to Harvard or Yale or some Ivy League school or MIT, you know, getting your bachelor's degree and whatever it is, probably, you know, it's not going to make much difference if you get it from the University of Hawaii as compared to maybe even another college here in Hawaii. So, the difference is a little bit. So, you know, she goes, no, Dave, you have to go here. You got to go to school here. It's, you know, and I'm like, no. But there's a college and university ranking out from the U.S. News and World Report, and they're saying it's not as meaningful as most people assume. Any rank list generated by weighting multiple variables depends greatly on those weights, and simple single score may be too simple to capture the most important characteristics of a diverse set of schools. So what they're really saying here, and what it boils down to, is that just going to school, getting the degree, and as long as the school is accredited, is probably just as equal across a large swath of schools. And again, unless you go to those real high-end Ivy Leagues or MIT, it's really not going to make that much of a difference when it comes to employment later on. So it is kind of interesting discussion here about how they rank schools and so forth and how much delta is between one and another, especially depending on where you're going in state. Here in Hawaii, we have very limited options. And the price range runs, you know, quite the gamut as well. But anyway, interesting stuff. And I just, to me, I think as long as you do the work and get the degree in something you love and want to do, you're going to be successful no matter what. And there's a lot of successful people out there without degrees as well. You know, I went 24 years without having a bachelor's degree. And then after I retired, I finally finished up and got mine. But you know, it didn't hurt me for those first 24 years. Of course, I was active duty Navy too. So I guess you really don't need a degree when you're an enlisted person. I ended up retiring as a senior chief. Okay, is that hotspot safe to use? A Wi-Fi Alliance wants to help security-savvy mobile device users increasingly casting a skeptical eye on public Wi-Fi. And now the vendor consortium behind wireless standards wants to make logging in via that coffee shop network a bit safer. I think this is smart. You know, today when we go on a public hotspot, we are really kind of rolling the dice, and you don't know who you're connecting to many times. I stay away from them. If I really don't trust, you know, if I don't know who owns the Wi-Fi port, I don't log into it. So this is kind of a cool initiative by the Wi-Fi Alliance to basically classify and basically determine whether or not, you know, a Wi-Fi hotspot is safe. And this is pretty cool. So we'll see where this goes. It's basically called Passpoint. And it basically does some verification and so forth. So we'll keep keep an eye on this. And if you see Passpoint sites, you can probably Google that and get a little more information to determine if the site that you're trying to access or the Wi-Fi that you're trying to access is safe or not. Okay, so really the Comet ISON entertainment starts here in the next couple of days. Comet ISON will barrel past Mars next week on its way towards a close encounter with the sun that really has the scientists and scientific community buzzing for really the past year. So Comet ISON will fly by Mars tomorrow, then gear up for a closer solar approach that will bring the icy wanderer within 724,000 miles of the sun's surface on November 28th. So there's lots of watching opportunities. People are getting pretty excited about this. So I have a link in the show notes if you want to get in on the action. There's a pretty incredible picture over on space.com of a guy that captured an amateur astronomer that captures an amazing photo of the iconic pillars of creation. And I don't know what they did for coloring and so forth, but this is pretty amazing. He took this photo in late August and was down in Australia when he took it. But it's always, and for those of you that are listening, the color of this is just an incredible red. Again, I don't know what type of filters he had on this thing, but really an incredible picture. Now, along with that, there's some amazing space photos from the Royal Observatory, from the folks that got a Photography of the Year award. I'll have that link up in the show notes as well. Some great pictures here that you can blow up and make some great desktop backgrounds for you to put on your desktop. I always love getting these things because they look so incredible. They really do. And some of these are real pictures, of course, as well. All right, NASA has found the most crowded galaxy ever seen. Astronomers using NASA's flagship space telescope have spotted what appears to be the densest nearby galaxy. The stars pack so tightly that they're 25 times closer to each other than the stars in our own Milky Way. The supercrowded galaxy is called M60-UCD1, is located about 54 million light years away from Earth. It weighs a whopping 200 million times more than the sun, packing half of its mass within 80 light years of its center. So this is pretty incredible, galaxy. So I have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. Okay. Article over in Geek News Central. Jeffrey Powers posted an article about iPhone speed test comparison. Basically, they tested every version of the iPhone and ran the same apps. me bring this up for you. Let's look at the time. How are we doing for time? We're doing okay. So it's a pretty cool video. A 2-minute, 50-second video that basically compares every iPhone that's ever been produced. And gives you some good ways to judge how fast or how slow these devices are. Now, things that were they learned from this iPhone speed test, in some cases, the 2G outperformed the newer models. It turns off the fastest for sure. 5S showed its lightning speed when connected to Wi-Fi. And you can see the size progression from each model. Unlocking all of them at once is pretty sweet. It also shows you that unless you want fingerprint sensors and an M7 coprocessor functionality, if you want a colorful iPhone and dynamic background of iOS, then upgrading 5 or 4S might not be necessary at this time. So a link will be up in the show notes for you to check out. There is a video that's over on nature.com, and this has got to make folks that have lost limbs very, very, very exciting. Rewired nerves control robotic leg. A 32-year-old man whose knee and leg were amputated in 2009 after a motorcycle accident is apparently the first person with a missing lower limb to control a robotic leg with his mind. A team led a biomedical engineer, Levi Hargrove, at the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago in Illinois, reported the breakthrough last week in the New England Journal of Medicine, including a video that shows the man using the bionic leg to walk upstairs and down a ramp and to kick a football. And this advance, this guy, it's wired to his brain. And they're using neural signals. And this is exciting, exciting, exciting stuff. Now, scientists have previously shown that paralyzed people can move robotic arms using their thoughts, and that able-bodied people can walk using robotic legs controlled by their brains. So the latest work goes a step further by, again, by using muscle signals to amplify messages sent by the brain when the person intends to move. So this accomplished is surgeons redirected the nerves that previously controlled some of the man's lower leg muscles so that they would cause muscle in his thigh to contract, in a technique called targeted muscle reinnervation. So then they use sensors embedded in the robotic leg to measure the electric pulses created by both the reinnervated muscle contractions and in the existing thigh muscle. When the surgeon combined this information with additional data from the sensor, Main was able to use the leg more accurately than when attempting to control the leg with its sensors alone. So this is huge. Huge, 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 huge. Give them 10 years, and it's going to be big. Going to be big. All right, a little bit of mystery and intrigue here. This is an article over on wire.co.uk. A codebreaker was found in a bag, yes, found in a bag, dead. He had attended a U.S. security conference before the death. This gentleman died a mysterious death in his flat 2 years ago. He had just returned from a computer security conference in the U.S. He had been at the Black Hat conference, but the body of Garth Williams, a codebreaker with MI6, basically had got off. And basically, they feel that his knowledge of code and some of the work that he had done in tracking money transactions and so forth. This guy was a math genius. They figured that someone that didn't want this guy walking on this earth anymore. And it's kind of an interesting situation here. His mobile and a number of SIM cards were laid on a table. The phone had been restored to its factory settings. There was no signs of forced entry in the apartment and no signs of struggle. So they've been doing a lot of investigation on this, but it is kind of it's kind of curious here that the MI6 has not been able to close this. But when you're working in the industry like he was and doing sensitive work at MI6, he probably befriended someone. Maybe talked too much and ended up getting killed. So this is some crazy stuff here. So if you're a code breaker, you better keep your mouth shut. All right, let's see here. Oh, the Falcon 9 launch that happened, they were actually carrying a Canadian Space Agency a satellite called, oh my God, Cassiope, K-C-A-S-S-I-O-P-E, Cassiope. And part of the satellite's payload is Cascade. It's a prototype for a super fast file transfer system, a kind of digital courier service. The idea behind Cascade is that companies, governments, and agencies increasingly need to get very large digital data packages, really in many tens of gigabytes across the world fast. So in the first quarter of this year, they're going to be doing some testing to move this data. Now, this Cascade promises upload and download speeds of 2,100 megabits per second. And they're not giving a lot of details about the transmission technology, and they don't know how many simultaneous uploads it could handle. But this is going to be a low Earth satellite that circles the globe every 90 minutes. So basically, you have to figure what you can deliver up and down, and really in the window that you're over the top of a target. So it'll be very, very interesting to see where this goes, and maybe pushing the boundaries here of data transfer from space. And if it's circling, you know, you can be on the other side of the world, and if you're a military guy, you upload the data package while it's on its way by, then, you know, 45 minutes later, it's on the other side of the world, and it drops the data into a data center. So a lot of potential there. Switching gears here just a little bit. Latest IE zero day, still unpatched. Attacks exploited, go back 3 months. So basically, there's a real nasty zero day out there right now, and people are just being warned to be careful. I'll have a link up in the show notes if you're an Internet Explorer user. Hey, many of you probably are wondering how much it's going to cost you to buy healthcare in these new exchanges. I'll have the link up for you to basically go to the website, and there's some calculators out there. You can put in your state, and here's what you got to do. You're going to be able to select your state. You're going to have to tell them how much you make in annual income. You're going to have to say whether your employer has coverage available or not, the number of people in your family, number of adults 21 and older that you're going to enroll in the exchange, and the number of children 20 and younger that you're enrolling in the exchange. And it's going to kick you out of price for a variety of different packages. That if you are going to have to get into this, if you don't have insurance now that you're going to need to get in, it's going to show you what you're going to have to pony up every month. And if you're going to get any rebates and so forth. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes for you to check out article over on Lifehacker. Over at thetelegraph.co.uk, they're talking about an augmented reality glass that translates foreign menus as you read. This is a new glass prototype. And not Google Glass, but Japanese have been building a prototype that basically it's using augmented reality. The glasses can project text in the wearer's native tongue over familiar signs and menus, potentially proving invaluable British tourists whose grasp of Japanese limited, not only British, but Americans. So this is pretty cool. It's basically got a character recognition software, and it does a translation, and it just puts it right back down on the sheet or on the paper or on the sign, and it gives you the translation. So very, very, very cool stuff here. Link will be up in the show notes on that. Delta confirms it will give Surface 2 tablets to 11,000 pilots. I'm sure they are thrilled to get Surface 2 tablets. I say that jokingly. Google's bringing NFC-enabled app vending machines to Japan. You know, only in Japan are vending machines still big. But this one's going to be an app vending machine, not a food, cigarette, or booze vending machine, an app vending machine. So all you got to do is put your phone up against the vending machine. NFC says, I want it, and it transfers it in, and you're good to go. So this is a new way to buy games for your Android phone. So only in Japan will this work, where they're crazy about their vending machines. All right, if you have an Xbox One, Kinect can discern two people talking at the same time. That's pretty cool. So if you're gaming, it'll be able to hear as well as understand both of you. And it will also be seen in a dark room if their mouths are moving as well. So Kinect is able to detect 25 joints present between six different people. It measures heart rates as well as map faces to 1,400 points. The sensor even has the ability to use using the console's controller So this is something Xbox One and Kinect is going to be able to do. Very, very cool. BitTorrent is launching an NSA-proof serverless messenger app. Of course, BitTorrent is a company behind the popular file-sharing clients uTorrent and BitTorrent announced a new product to the world today. You branded BitTorrent Chat. The new application allows people to chat safely and securely without having to rely on central servers, making it nearly impossible for those conversations to be tapped. The project is currently in private alpha stage, and BitTorrent is inviting the public to give it a try. I don't know how even on a peer-to-peer basis you're going to... Bits are bits, and if someone's got something on a cable, they're still going to be able to detect it. All right, Microsoft officially pulls a plug on MSN TV. This shouldn't come as a surprise, but if you have an MSN TV box, you know that it's DOA today. All right, Sharp's Aquos Phone XX is almost all screen. It gives an 80.5% screen face. It's really incredible how much screen they got onto the front of this phone. And let me give you a peek here. So you get a lot of bang for the buck for this thing, for sure. 80.5% of its 5.2-inch front is all screen. So if you like a lot of screen, this is the phone for you. All right, final couple articles here. Verizon is going to honor any upgrades with unlimited data resulting from a system glitch. So if you were able to see the unlimited data plans, it was available for a little while over the weekend. Congratulations. You are now going to... be allowed to keep those unlimited plans. So I didn't hear about that. Wish I would have. How many of you have had a phone in your pocket, or maybe not even a phone in your pocket, and you felt your phone vibrate and it's actually not ringing? It's just a phantom phone vibration. You know, I noticed I had the bad case of it here a couple of years ago, and I kind of solved it by putting my phone in my other pocket. I kind of seemed to kind of solve it a little bit for a while. It's come back from time to time. But it says 90% of the folks that carry cell phones in their pockets have basically experienced phantom vibrations. And so there's a whole science behind this project, a whole science behind it now on why it's happening and how it's basically short-circuiting our brain. And it's kind of scary stuff. But I'll have the link up in the show notes article over on NPR. Something really cool that was actually visualized for the first time. A hydrogen bond was seen for the first time, and really, it was pretty cool. Chalk one up for atomic force microscopy. As detailed in a paper published recently in the Journal of Science, researchers in China have used the imaging technique as opposed to scanning tunneling microscopy to capture an image of a hydrogen bond for the first time ever. Hydrogen bonding is common in nature, responsible for the properties of water and the link between two strands of DNA's double helix. And it's something that chemists have long been able to visualize, albeit only at a theoretical level. But this one here, they actually captures. They got to see it happen in real time, which is really, really cool. All right, last article for the day. Sadly, Toshiba is cutting 3,000 jobs from its struggling TV division. Will close two production facilities. So more bad news for the Japanese economy and cutting jobs over there. So just goes to show you that the tech market is ever, ever moving. All right, let me look here and see what we got in the show notes. Of course, I gave everyone a homework assignment last show, and not going to read those. I don't know if we got many other comments. A lot of people are trying to get on the contest for show 900. I did get an email from Bob. He said, "Hey, Todd, checked out sonic.net. He says, seems likely they are linked to AT&T wired customers specifically. He says, my Southern California physical address does not have AT&T hardwire service. Sonic.net seems not to be an option for me, Bob." So, Bob, thanks for that. I got an email from, let's see here. Let me make sure that I'm looking at the time frame. Yeah, that was it. And then we got a whole bunch of folks that sent in our one thing challenge. And we even had some folks that did the Go Bag Challenge as well. So we want to thank you guys for that. Definitely appreciate it. So basically, here's the homework for this show. If you've hanged out this long. So tell me in an email in one sentence, or actually two sentences, one thing you love about the show and one thing you hate about the show. Be frank. Still going to love you no matter what. So if you send that to geeknews@gmail.com, we'll put you in the stack of stuff where we're going to give away some prizes on show 900. So make sure that you get your entries in. And you can still submit stuff from the other homework assignments as well. But look forward to doing show 900 here just in a 6 short episodes from now. Hey, as a programming note, my wife and I were discussing today. My kids go on a short, because they go on like almost like this year-round schedule here. In October, they get a week off. And my wife and I were talking about maybe making a quick dash to the East Coast. We want to take my daughter out to Annapolis and have her basically see the campus and what happens at the Naval Academy. So we're thinking about making a run out there. And also we want to take them back to the area where they were basically born and were as small children. And take them to show them that, and if the shutdown doesn't impede things, take them up to Washington D.C. So potentially we're going to be making this mad dash. We haven't made a decision, pulled the trigger yet. I'm looking at the dimes and nickels that I have, and how many I have to make that run, because it's not going to be cheap, and my schedule and everything else. So it may end up being just her and a couple of the kids ago. I haven't made a decision yet. I'll keep you advised on the next show. Won't be any time any before Saturday for sure, before we can do anything. But we'll keep you advised on that on the next show. I should know for sure one way or another. But potentially could have a DC meetup here in another week or so. But we'll keep you advised on that. So everyone, thanks for listening tonight. Thanks for being here. Thanks again for being part of the Ohana and being part of the family of this show. We appreciate you very, very much. And went through a lot of content fast tonight. Sorry I didn't have everything completely organized. The launching and basically turning on the podcast award site into nomination phase basically tied up about an hour of my time. Make sure the Twitter feed and everything was working. So, but again, thanks everybody for being here. I appreciate your support. We'd like to consider becoming an insider for the show by going to geeknewscentral.com/insider for 6.7 cents a day. You can support the show at $2 a month. So we're looking, if you want to help us out, $2, $5, $10, $15, or $25 a month would be fantastic. Or even single time donations are as well. We definitely appreciate that. If you are so inclined, support our sponsors as well over at GoDaddy.com. Got some great deals for you this month. There's no excuse not to get a hosting account now. $1.99 per month, and they give you a .com for free. All those links are geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All right, folks, time to go. Until you next time, everyone take care. We'll see you. Aloha.